is actually tell you the alternate title of this presentation, which is Lessons Learned in the Messy World of Good Intentions. I also like to acknowledge my co-investigators, Dr. Susan Kasser, Professor Nancy Zimney, and Jean McCandless, who is the Arthritis Program Director at the Vermont State Department of Health. The reason that we all got involved in this project was basically shared interest in arthritis and our joint membership on the Arthritis Coalition for the State of Vermont. As you can see, the prevalence of arthritis in Vermont is 57% of adults over 65, and it costs $172 million per year in disease-related expenditures, health expenditures. The State Department of Health has a mandate to address those populations and a desire to reach the populations who normally don't benefit from group programs. And so as a part of our coalition experience, we were looking to find a way to develop a sustainable program that met the needs of low-income, homebound, or not specifically homebound, but at least people who don't go out to group exercise and don't get very much exercise independently. So that's looking at some of the indicators for Vermont again. You can see that arthritis and joint symptoms affect 44% of our population. We have a small population in Vermont, a rural population. The Burlington area where we live and where we implemented this project is the only metropolitan area in the state. And that we do have a high percentage of people who have activity limitations in the state as well. And of course, we acknowledge that people with lower income tend to have the greater burden of disease. We also looked at discharge data and found that almost $40 million is spent in arthritis inpatient charges. Of that, 78% is spent on people over 55 years of age and 66% on women. So we were focusing on particularly older women, but there are men in our sample. The state program, the state health plan, also has a subdivision, the state arthritis health plan, and so we looked at how we could address the goals of the within our program, and basically these are the individual objectives, but the one that shaded to use coalition partnerships to develop models was really where we wanted to focus. We also wanted to increase knowledge about arthritis and its management, and finally to increase professional understanding of arthritis management in a whole new generation of future providers. And finally, to get people to do their own self-management. Our partners, obviously the Vermont Department of Health Arthritis Program, the University of Vermont, in three different departments. Physical education, where Dr. Susan Kasser was, she's now with us in the College of Nursing and Health Sciences, nursing department, and the physical therapy department also in the College of Nursing and Health Sciences. Cathedral Square Corporation offers subsidized senior housing throughout the area, and so they offered and were very interested in helping their senior residents, who mostly don't get out, to do exercise. And the Professional Nurses Association is a home care agency with a specially funded in on-site clinic at the Winooski Housing Authority, which is another federally subsidized housing development. And this is a picture of the College of Nursing and Health Sciences. Our project questions are basically, we were looking at the model, is delivering in-home arthritis exercise using nursing students as the vehicle feasible? Is it effective? And does it change the measures that we selected? Things like self-efficacy, physical performance, mood, fatigue, and perceived quality of life. Our in- intervention was actually to have students deliver the exercise program 2 times a week using the PACE model from the Arthritis Foundation exercise program, using the students as coaches, and pre- and post-testing by the investigators. Here are two of the settings, Cathedral Square Tower, which consists mostly of Section 8, but it does have 28 assisted living units for low-income seniors. Macaulay Square, which looks very fancy actually on the outside, is also low-income housing and includes a section for young mothers who are unemployed and who have and parents who are in school and low-income older adults. And finally, the Winooski Housing Authority, which is not the Cathedral Square. This is a public building and does have the elder care clinic in it. So, we started this project in 2005 with planning. We ran a very small pilot using physical education students and nursing students. We selected the instruments and got approval from our IRB. And our pre-testing of it basically involved Dr. Kasser and the health department going out and doing the measures, students going out and doing the intervention, and then reevaluating at the end. And it looked promising. So that's when we decided to use a service learning designation for this first nursing class, which was the art and science of nursing. Students had complained it's a large lecture class, and they had complained that they didn't have any kind of clinical background on which to hang the concepts that were being taught. So this seemed like an ideal way to also address that problem. Our design was quasi-experimental with 3 intervention groups, basically 2 groups of independent living elders and 1 in the assisted living center, and then 1 control group, which would get just the a modified intervention. So the students went out and did the exercise program with the seniors 2 times a week, plus social interaction, and provided health information and routine screening. And the control group just got the visits with the socialization, health information, and routine screening. Here's just a list of some of the measures that we used. I know it's difficult to see, but basically self-efficacy, arthritis management, symptom management, physical performance tests that are very clinically useful, fatigue, and depression scale. Recruitment was an interesting experience for us because we had been promised many, many people. There are 80 units in one building and 50 in the other building, plus the control group. Unfortunately, many people did not really want to participate, or said they did, but when we came to the consent, did not wish to. So we had a much lower participation rate than we had hoped for. But we did, when we met with them, review the procedures and obtain informed consent from them. In 2006, we basically did recruit. At the beginning of the semester, we knew we had 87 students available to participate in this. Unfortunately, because we only were able to recruit 23 participants, we could only use 23, so we had to develop other service learning activities for the other students, which was a slowdown to the process. Again, matching seniors and students was also an interesting process because we tried to match them up on certain characteristics and certainly on allergies and preferences of the older adults. We were limited by the time period of a semester, but it was our hope that this would move on from semester to semester so that students would follow seniors around the year. We did a midpoint evaluation. What we found was, of course, and this is not horribly surprising to any of you who have done this kind of uncontrolled community experiment, but basically there's no statistically significant difference between the groups across all sites. However, we did find one particular measure, which was the physical function performance test, at one site, Macaulay Square residents, and we hypothesized that they also developed social networks during the process that enabled them to be more active in between the student visits, and so that's what we think happened. The things that confounded our results, we figured, as we looked at back at both our statistical data and our anecdotal data, was that there were many people who had sickness during the process. The first week, one person had a heart attack, not related to the exercise. And then there were a number of people who got chronic illnesses. This was done during the winter time when people were at home, but they were also, it's also high illness time. Forgetfulness and early dementia, even though that was an exclusion criterion, we found that housing staff in selecting people did not account for that very well, or they didn't know. And then family priorities also got involved and impeded people's participation. Structurally, the academic calendar was a problem for us. Curricular changes and faculty assignments have given us a real challenge with regard to maintaining a consistent schedule. Students, most of our students work outside their class hours, and so they were struggling with managing the load. Health department had provided a great deal of staffing for us, but was unable to continue to do that. And then the staff roles in the senior apartment complexes, they perhaps did not understand the importance of all of our research criteria, and so consequently, we would need to do more with that in the future. As far as impacts and things that we, our results, we basically were unable, from the health department's point of view, to show the objective effectiveness of the PACE exercises in a home-based population. This was a very great disappointment to the health department, who was looking for objective data to for the CDC to continue funding. The whole project required a lot of time on their part because I had 90 students in the Art and Science of Nursing class, or 87 of them rather. They did a fair amount of the day-to-day management to make sure that students actually arrived at senior housing and that if they couldn't get in, they were staff members were contacted and so forth. The plan for sustainability wasn't achieved, but we are still working on the problem and have hopes for using a different model, a different system. For the seniors, however, what we found was that they liked the regular social activity. They did actually incorporate a little more physical activity into their daily routines, especially during the winter months. What they especially reported that they liked was reciprocity, that they enjoyed being the teachers of nursing students. And so that was probably the most positive anecdotal outcome, and they had a party at the end, which they enjoyed, of course. For the students, they basically achieved things, and they were happy with those achievements. They developed therapeutic relationships. They applied the course content, which included how to communicate, how to be culturally appropriate, some basis in nursing theory, ethics, what their responsibilities, what their legal responsibilities were in the home and nursing process. And so from an educational standpoint, it actually worked pretty well. They engaged in research, and they were taking a research course simultaneously, so it gave them some incentive. They provided community service, which was good for both the community and for the university, and they learned something about arthritis and the State Department of Health. Nursing faculty, again, doing service learning with 87 sophomore students is a challenge. We needed only 23 exercise coaches. But we did have to come up with other service learning opportunities. We had journals for the reflective aspects of service learning, which are essential to making service learning something more than volunteerism. We were able to give nursing advice and had to give nursing advice when students would call from residence apartments and say, so-and-so doesn't sound very good, what do I do? And we followed up on those problems with resident staff. The model, from a research perspective, was way too complex. The measures were inexact, and our intervention was dependent both on the number of participants we could recruit and on student enrollment. We did spend a fair amount of time developing inter-rater reliability and training students before we actually did the project. Now, the most important aspect of this, I think, is the debriefing and critique of the method. When we sat down together, we discovered that we all had slightly different expectations of what would happen. And so the debriefing was extremely important for us in preparing for the next phase. We looked at the statistical analyses, the discussion of reasons for results. We looked at the comparison between that and existing literature and wondered why we didn't get better results for all the reasons that I've already explained. And we talked about our unspoken expectations that we had all gone into this. I wanted good educational outcomes as well as good service to older adults. The health department wanted statistical results, and so on. So we are engaged in planning for additional work and figuring out how we can sustain a partnership so that we can serve this population and provide a model for other university health department collaboration. And I'd like to acknowledge Susan Gruters, who was with the Vermont Department of Health, because she did give us outstanding logistical support day and night. And Jean McCandless for even suggesting that we could do this, and for her efforts on behalf of elders. Thank you. Are there questions? Yes. That's an excellent idea. With regard to the one place where we did see some change pre and post test was a residence where people spent more time talking to one another about what they were experiencing, so that an RSVP program or something with senior adults could in fact work. The one problem in Vermont, of course, is travel during the winter. And so it would be nice if those people could be recruited from within the residences. Now, it was all individual because these are people who did not want to leave their apartments to go to a group exercise program, partly due to low confidence level. Our average age, which I forgot to mention, was 80. Not very many, but there are some. Yes. The PACE program is a very prescribed set of exercises. We wondered whether in some respects, it was too low level for some of our senior participants, and that's why we didn't see any changes in function. And in other cases, we're not sure that we provided adequate instruction to the students as to how to modify over time period and how to make it more and more challenging, which is done in a group exercise program that when PACE does it as a group. Our measures perhaps were not exact to PACE, and that was also a concern, but we were really looking at functionality. And so I believe our measures were appropriate measures, but perhaps the exercise program wasn't the right. phys ed students, PT students, and nursing students doing it voluntarily. That model worked well, but there were only 3 physical education students to 90 nursing students and the physical therapy students. Now that we're all housed within one college, we have more opportunity to do more interdisciplinary work. Scheduling is always